Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 117, and drumroll, we are in the week of the first game back properly. I'm going to go to, there's only, because of holidays and stuff, there's only four of us tonight. The rest are away, but it's Nathan, Ben and Coggy. Nathan and Ben went to an actual football game at Old Trafford at the weekend. Ben taking his kid for the first time and Nathan with his nephews and family. So I want to ask him what it felt like. I am feeling, I don't know, I feel mixed because I feel very giddy seeing everyone. And also, typical my neurosis, a little bit sad and, I don't know, not scared. Scared's the wrong word because I'm not scared. But I don't know, just like into the unknown. It's something I've done all my life. And it's about to come back. And I feel the sadness twofold about Jav has mentioned it on Twitter tonight, just that there might be not, I've said this a few times, might not be faces that we know. And I just hope that I can, it'll be as many people walking past as you remember. And also on the other part, that there's just a nagging ongoing woodpecker going, it's 3 months since the Glazers tried to ruin and wretch football as we knew it. And we didn't mention it last week, and I'd made the note, but like the European Super League, you know, that it's still going at the start of the court thing and that no one's left. Now, I know not even the Glazers would be devious enough to stay in it and then go back, but it will come back in the future. But I think they're staying in it until the lawyers unravel it and, you know, and trying to get out of what their punishment could be. But we're still in it. And they're just, sometimes I get that thing that the betrayal of a legend has multifaceted over the years at United. And I should be totally, this is Leeds, this is United, and I will be. But I don't want it to go away. I don't want what we felt and what they tried to do, you know. So last, but there's been a lot, and I hate seeing Reds row, especially when it's mates about the £3 Carlin. And typical me, this is one of my faults. I can see all arguments. I can see both sides. There's a Red who has a stressful week, who's going to save himself 100 or 200 quid, who just wants to go to the game and have as cheap a beer as possible. But on the other side, I can see we can't be bought off by £3 beers. You know, so I get both sides of the argument that the Glazers will be thinking, we hope we've quelled it. Two signings. It's for some leader to come forward. None of this is new. How you get 8 out of 10 to agree. Anyway, I am multi-emotioned. That's what it does with 500 odd days away. So, Nathan, what did it feel like?
Hello. Well, I went to the Brentford game as well, didn't I? But so that was my first time. I listened back to the pod the other day because I didn't do it last week, did I? But and Nick mentioned that it was 507 days, didn't it? And it was quite funny because when I met him before the match, I was like, Nick, guess what? It's been 500 and he finished the sentence because he knew it as well. And we both just obviously figured it out during that day. And it's like, we're just sad bastards, aren't we? But Saturday, like I say, I've been to two now, but Saturday was really nice. Just purely, like, I was thinking back and I can rarely remember properly going as a kid with my brother and my dad. It was always one or the other, you know, so that was nice in itself. I went, my brother, his two little ones, my dad and, like, his missus. So it was just a nice little day out, you know, like, the kids were buzzing. Like, they didn't know that they were going until, like, the morning of the game. We've got all mine and my brother's old shirts from when we were kids. So, like, I've given them a couple, like, when they've come over to stay over for a weekend or whatever. So they were both wearing them and then they were loving it. Like, we were lucky, to be fair, because obviously it was 3-0 at half-time and we were sat pretty much right behind that goal. So they were like, I got a video like of the Bruno free kick as it went in, and like seeing their faces, they were buzzing. So like, I know that we hate all the shit that comes with the Glazers and everything, but it's stuff like that that reminds you that that's what it's properly about, isn't it? And it's just, it's nice to it's nice to hold on to those things. And like, we left about 10 minutes early just so that we could get out to beat the rush, and they were both gutted, and I was just like, well, we'll come back, it's fine, you know, we can come again. So yeah,
but it's just nice to
be able to take advantage of the fact that they're not playing in China or something for a pre-season. That's why I said it to my brother so much. I was just like, I generally don't know when we'll get the chance to do this, really, other than if it's a really shit FA Cup draw or something, you know. So it was nice to take advantage of.
That's what there's so many contrasting emotions, you know, but Rick is such a sound lad, and he's created the opportunity for half price season ticket holders. So it shouldn't be that we can't have, you know, someone negotiating with a club. So that's not, you know, and he's trying his best on the ground level. It's just, for me, it's always been that distrust any level above, you know, seniority. But the great thing about the photos, I had Albert's belated because we were away the week before in Richland, his birthday party, so I couldn't go to that. But it was so good seeing all the kids. There were so many on Twitter that you just, that can't but help warm, you know, and that is the purity. It's not Joel at that level. Ben, was it a buzz? Obviously.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. And as you say, it was great seeing the number of kids. With obviously a lot of kids with dads and mums and grandparents like we were. But also there was groups of sort of young teenagers who were together with the mates as well. And you know, I was with my father-in-law, we took my eldest, who's only four, to her first game. So it was great. And she obviously, you know, she doesn't really understand properly, but it was you know, when they put the offer out, I think the £10 adults and kids go free. I thought, well, why not? It's a pre-season game. It'd be a good one to take her to. It's going to be safe and all the rest of it. So, and, you know, she was buzzing the whole afternoon, really. She did, you know, she did much better than I expected in terms of keeping an interest. She was probably really with it for the whole of the first half. And in the second half, I think we all lost interest when he, you know, made that many changes anyway. But we stayed to the end. And to go back to like what Nathan was saying about, you know, his nephews being gutted to leave, she actually started to cry when the game finished. And I said to her, what's wrong? And she said, I want two more goals. And I had to explain to her, it doesn't always work like that. Well, it doesn't work like that at all.
Not very often at all.
When the final whistle blows and that's it. We just have to go home and accept it. So, yeah, it was a really, really good afternoon. And just generally, it was nice to be back. I hadn't been counting the days like Nathan and Nick, but I'm aware it's been a long time. So it's just nice to be at Old Trafford. Obviously, it was a slightly different crowd in terms of the makeup, but other than that, it did feel quite normal, I think, you know, walking down Matt Busby Way. When we got in, you know, we had no problems getting in. There was no kind of, they weren't over the top with checking things. And you know, the concourses were busy. There wasn't a lot of mask wearing. So depending on your perspective and all that, that might be a good thing or a bad thing. But it just felt, to me, very much like being at Old Trafford before the pandemic. So on that basis, I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Was it a barcode for that to get in?
Yeah.
And that worked all right on the gate. Sorry, yeah, I'm asking very naive, like innocent questions, mm-hmm. but
in terms of just the ticket for getting in on the phone. Yeah, it was just sent the barcode, and I had, because I just had all three in my name, so I used the same phone, just passed it back out for the other two. Well, little one went in first, and then passed it back out to my father-in-law. So, and there was no one hovering over you or anything like that, and it all worked absolutely fine. So.
I hope that's, you know, there was some,
the case on Saturday, I don't know.
No, I mean, I saw the Scousers photos, and then there was one area, I can't remember, was it North Stand at United, where there was late loads getting in late, and I don't, we're in the lap of the gods, aren't we, with, please, let it be un-United and it all work, but were people getting in early?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we were at least half an hour before kickoff, and I think given the makeup of the crowd, probably a lot of people were getting in early anyway because they had young kids and they wanted to. So whether it'd be the same on Saturday with people turning up last minute, you know, could be a few more issues there.
And Bruno's free kick on the actual football, fair fucks. I mean, I saw as ever social media, he celebrated. Jesus, you score any goal like that? If I scored that in a playground, I'd be celebrating.
Yeah, it was a brilliant, brilliant goal, wasn't it? You can't knock that. I mean, it was good. not getting carried away. It was a pre-season game, and Everton didn't really look particularly sharp. But I thought we did look at it. It was a good first half performance. They moved the ball well. There was a bit of pace, a bit of penetration. It was entertaining. So as pre-season friendlies go,
yeah. Not that, but it's, my Lee Grant moments where I get carried away. So I watched the game, and there was one moment where Mata, and we don't see it enough, but Mata turned the bloke and he gave a ball to Greenwood, who Greenwood didn't do much with it. But there was just, so the Lee Grant moments are getting carried away that I didn't even realise a few weeks ago that we still had Diego Dalot or Dalot in our squad. That now I suddenly thought, well, maybe he can do a job if we don't get rid of him. And then I got carried away that, well, maybe this squad can. And then I'm just thinking, Barney, give your head a wobble. Suddenly you've gone from beating Everton with Rafa Benitez and you're going to win the league. And I saw this vision again of just. So, Coggy, how are you, mate? I know there's a lot of people who want to say anonymously and to you, all names, they're sending their love and best.
Yeah, a few people have obviously contacted me, privately and also on Twitter. And it is, it's great that people, make the effort to say it. And I do appreciate it. And as do the family. And I think I've said before, it does show that, I'm quite cynical over United supporter, at times, but it is a red family in many ways, so it is very much appreciated. Cremation was last week, so we had a few wobbles, the kids last week and everything. It's all about now moving on, doing step by step and everything. We've got this big celebration party for at the end of September. We're just throwing ourselves into that to make that work and go well. So. Step by step. Probably everybody listening to this podcast has suffered themselves in one way or the other, parents, brother, sister, whatever. So, I'm not alone in this. And it's just getting along really. I've said this for years, no matter what your situation is, United can still piss you off, will make you very, very happy. And I just want to echo what the boys have said there, because they're I saw the picture of Nathan with his dad and his brother and his nephews, Ben and Steve with their kids and everything. And I didn't go to the game, but it was great to see that all over Twitter, people taking the kids. And I hope the club going forward actually take advantage of this and have one friendly just before the start of the season at Old Trafford, so they can do that sort of thing again, because I think it encourages the youth coming to the games and satisfies the needs, and otherwise they won't be able to go. So I thought it would be great. I didn't watch the first half, funnily enough, because I was doing some counselling for a neighbour who got upset because a cat died.
Oh,
and
God.
She came around my house. The players were just walking on. I paused it. And she still didn't fucking understand. I was trying to watch the match. I'm sorry, mate, your cat and everything, So I missed the first half, anyway. But I recorded it, and after 5 minutes,
Stuart Gardner.
We got a corner, and he went, and it's Gilberto Carlos to take the corner, at which point I thought, I'm turning this off. Jesus Christ, you say you're getting carried away, Barney, but bloody hell. By all accounts, we played well in the first half, watched the second half, which was a bit dour. But good win.
Well, Saturday, I don't like Gilberto. It goes back to when I was listening back to last week, where I call them first names. I don't like McSauce. And Gilberto Carlos and all that. Unless you're Eric Cantona and Dennis Law, don't call them anything but their names. That's what I'm a very purist like that. I would say, you go from QPR and then you beat Everton, and then you think half the players, Sancho's only trained, Varane, Cavani's only coming back Thursday. I don't know if we're undercooked, overcooked, where we are. We've got to start the season well, but I'm just allowing myself a little bit of thing to think we should be buying more, And I saw one of the journalists wrote, United have spent a lot of money this summer. Well, we haven't. And also, it's why we keep hammering about the Glazers. They take the $2 billion out. I'll ask you later. I think we've got to win a cup. It's exactly like where we were a year ago. We are a better squad, but are we capable? And in all honesty, I think City will walk the league. I think they'll walk it.
I think the only thing, like you're saying about whether everyone's ready or whatever, I think everyone's going to be in that same boat, though. Like my mate, who's like, to be fair, he is a City fan, and he's not confident that they're going to start well because a lot of their players have not even got into training properly yet and stuff. So I think everyone's going to be in that same boat to one level or the other. So I don't know. I think the only thing that I'm concerned about, like you say, is Cavani's not even properly back. So, like, Martial, I know we get onto him and we're bringing him.
So what do you think he played like?
What you said,
sorry? What do you think he played like?
I thought he was quite anonymous, really. As always, I think it was funny. I was speaking about it before, and like you can sort of say that. Yeah, it was his first action of pre-season, so it could take him a while to get into it, like you would say about other people. But then I was just like, this is just how he plays every week.
what position did he play? Because when I looked at it, it looked as if he was
he was number nine. Yeah. You had James Fernandez and Greenwood behind him, and he was up top. But I mean, those three played quite well. I mean, James was quite lively. Greenwood obviously scored and looked dangerous. Yeah. But I totally agree with Nathan. I mean, I wasn't really aware. When Martial had gone off the pitch, there was no difference to when he was on it.
I'm laughing. It's not funny.
Centre forward, to be honest. I mean, why not? You know, we're all saying that Greenwood is the heir apparent for that role. So why not play him in that position and stick Martial left? But the other thing is, what is Cavani only coming back on Thursday and then May after?
I've got no idea because we're not getting much information from the club bar, stop attacking the Glazers. But I think it might have, someone said, that may have been the deal that he gets a year, but he wants a proper 6-week break back with his family at home. And I think that would make sense, wouldn't it? That you give him after quarantine and he's felt homesick or whatever, and he's not had a proper time that you go and then come back in the miserable winter and feel even fucking sadder about you can't ride horses. But the Martial thing, I mean, I'm laughing, but it's fucking... But I think Nick joked, it might be the Sansom thing, he's had his hair cut. But I do think the contrast, the articles about Donny van der Beek, what do I need to do? I will do this all summer. And I'm preempting what's to come with Martial, and maybe we will be fucking surprised. But it's almost like Donny van der Beek has gone, what do I need to prove myself? And Anthony Martial's have gone, well, here I am again.
But hasn't he been injured, though? I mean, not wanting to defend him, but hasn't he been out throughout the whole of the summer injured?
Yeah, I think it was the first time he played.
Yes.
Whenever he was injured, so it's... Yeah, I mean... We'll have to wait and see with him, but there certainly wasn't much from him on Saturday. I think with Van der Beek, Barney, just to pick up that, I mean, I sort of, towards the end of last season, he was just a broken man, wasn't he? I think we discussed on here whether he should have, come off the bench in the final. I just thought his confidence was so low. But, it's a fresh, clean slate for him, and he's had a year to kind of at least work out what it's all about from the bench, if not from on the pitch very often. And, I thought he played quite well. I don't know what Nathan thought in that first half. I could see a future from there because I have an issue with the Fred and McTominay thing. It's too defensive in a lot of games. And I think he is someone that if he plays as one of those holding players, he's got a bit more going forward. He moves the ball a bit quicker. He moves it in a foot. I thought there was a couple of times where he was caught in possession, which was an issue last season on Saturday. But generally, I thought he looked quite tidy, and he had sort of positive intentions when he got the ball. He played a few nice passes. So it just made me think maybe this could be a season where he actually does come good. And I think if he does, he could make a big difference to that midfield.
Yeah, we've seen it before.
He just needs a run of games, doesn't he? But I think the sad thing is, I think didn't Lingard have to pull out quite last minute because he got COVID, which means... I doubt that Van der Beek would have started if Lingard was
I don't think Lingard would have started where Van der Beek was playing, was he? He was playing like a number six, basically. So I don't know, but I suspect Lingard might have been in that front three, or maybe even, you know, Martial.
But when they're saying that he might, you know, jettison the McFred thing, part of me thinking you wouldn't. Ollie does throw a few surprises that. He does like Lindelof to scare us a little bit, but it wouldn't surprise me if he starts thinking I might go three at the back, stroke five at the back with Lindelof, Ferran and Maguire, and hoping Maguire then pushes up a little bit. That he might be thinking that he can play that a bit more often than he did, because he did play that a bit and then he totally jettisoned it. That he thinks, is he playing in five at the back? I don't know. And I'm not advocating it, but...
I think it could work in some games, but I mean, I think that's where maybe Dalot could still have a role to play, because I think as a wing back he's quite decent. I think Wan-Bissaka is a good full back, but if you're playing 3-5, I wouldn't have Wan-Bissaka as one of the wing backs. Yeah. I don't think he gives you enough.
No, that's it. And we're at that level where we know, you know, Pereira's still here, but you hope that he gets his deal to cut. You know, Phil Jones surely doesn't hang around like a fucking bat on the in the roof, that he finally gets his freedom. Sorry, Paddy.
Just going back to the formation on Saturday, and in particular the starting line. Now, I understand, obviously, that was Pogba's first game back, and I would guess that maybe he'll push Pogba to the left, really, in a more forward role, because we haven't got Rashford.
Mm-hmm.
What puzzles me is, unless he intends starting matches against Leeds, why play him in that position? Why not play either Fred, if you think it's going to be Fred, or McTominay alongside Van de Beek? And, you know, so I would be quite surprised if he starts Matic next week. So why not play McTominay or Fred? Because I think they're likely to be starters.
We could be seeing any team on Saturday, though, Coggy, to be true. You know, Ollie said it's a big week. And there's so many unanswered. I think Pogba will stay, I don't know, you get the new deal. But I think we said last time about De Gea and Henderson, there's a lot of unanswered. We've got a top-heavy squad again that, I don't know, they might be... fuck knows. It's hard enough working out if it's what's said. So if we're going to... If I think second at a push, a cup... Anyone giddy?
I'm more optimistic than I've been for a few seasons, because I do think the squad is starting to take shape. It's not the finished article, but I think the two signings we've made, assuming that Varane goes through and the medic passes the medical, etc., I think they're really good signings, actually, that sort of really make a difference to both the starting 11 and the squad more generally. And I think Varane in particular, getting that quality centre-half. Because let's not forget, I mean, Maguire, I think, really had a good season last year and a good European Championships, him and Shaw. So you've got those two, should be full of confidence coming out of the Euros. You had Varane today, who's one of the best centre-halves in the world. And all of a sudden, we've got a really good defence there.
Mm.
That allows you potentially to be less cautious with the midfield, you know, McFred axis. You know, I think a lot of that is because he's not necessarily trusted what's been behind, you know, for sort of recovery and that kind of thing. So I think if Varane comes in, you might see, whether it be Van der Beek or even Pogba playing there and you know, not being quite so negative there. I think, you know, the forward line, I'm excited about Sancho. Maybe Nick's got in the head there, but you know, I do think he can make a real difference. And obviously Greenwood, Fernandez again. There's a bit of a question mark about that sort of centre forward position, because we talked about Cavani there, and I think a lot of it depends on whether Cavani can stay fit. But generally speaking, I do think that squad is starting to take shape, and we're starting to have the makings of a good side.
Well, Nick's
the first time I felt that in 5 or 6 years, so I am positive in that sense. But when I look at the competition, I still think we're well behind City. I have a sneaking feeling Chelsea might, win it this season. And then there's Liverpool, there's Leicester. So, you know, it could be anything. But I suppose all we can worry about is ourselves and improving ourselves. And, you know, the opposition is the opposition. We, you know, we've got no control over, you know, who City are able to buy and that sort of thing. So
we need a good home, you know, our home record, like the Sheffield United debacle. We need, even through a good season, away is clearly not going to be as good as last. But we haven't got Nick start bollard naked in an Ollie hat. But You are right. Like, when you look at where we were when Ollie came in, the squad, the players he's got rid of, slowly ousting the deadwood. Every signing nearly has been improvement. Some have been quality, some could be quality. But and this is where I had these internal battles when I'm thinking, but there's part of me that was thinking, last season I thought he got as much as he could out of the likes of Fred. And the midfield worries me. Pogba had a better season. Can he have a really quality season that we need him to be? Matic has been treading water, if not fucking doggy paddles backwards for a while now. Matter's like, you know, he has moments, but that's about it. McTominay needs to step up. So that's where I don't know. I don't want to fucking burst a balloon before we've even. Anything could happen, though. And I know that's like the most standout comment ever about football. Anything can happen, but.
But I think, at the end of last season, and in fact, we've been saying for some time, we all said we want a quality right-sided attacker, we want a quality central defender, and we want a quality defensive midfielder. And we've got two of them, haven't we? So, you know, so that must give us a bit of confidence, you know, going forward. Yeah, there's still areas that we need to improve on. And it's that defensive midfielder that we need to get sorted out. Me personally, I think we should just stick McTominay in there, developing as a proper defensive midfielder, and then have somebody like Van der Beek or whoever playing alongside him, pushing forward.
But it's just like that performance McTominay against Barcelona a few years back, and there was a couple of signs near the end of last season where you think he's better than people make out.
Yeah.
I just can't work it out. I mean, I'm to Varane and Sancho, I'm very excited. You must have left there on Saturday, Nathan, thinking that, you know.
Well, I left thinking I can't wait to be back this time next week. So, I'm looking forward to it. Like I say, I've been twice like for those friendlies, but it's going to be a whole different ball game on Saturday, isn't it? It's going to be was it on here that we said about it's a shame that we've got such a big one first because it might take a while to get into it, but it won't. That's such a good game to go back in. I was gutted last year that we missed those games in person, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, they'll turn up giddy as fuck, full of the hatred. So if anything can get the cockles going, it is this first game.
Yeah.
See grown men fucking shouting abuse at you at 11:30 in the morning. If that doesn't say welcome back to football, nothing will. It's when they start spitting at us, Nathan. I'm going to do a quick plug. We have got the mag back. Hopefully there's no clipboard wankers telling us things we shouldn't be. It is £4 because it's the double issues. Rightly or wrongly, I have no fucking idea, but like Boris Johnson, what's going to happen in the next 6 months. But we're preparing that just in case we have to keep the double mags to keep the mag going in a way that we can, whatever happens. So it will be £4. Nathan rightly has said no fucker carries cash anymore apart from dinosaurs like me. So he will. I feel sad about this. I've got to stop feeling sad about everything that we've got. Nathan will have a card reader if the fucking Wi-Fi stands out at Old Trafford. So you can pay by card up the top. I feel sad saying that, like it's part of the fan. I don't know. Fuck knows.
We're dragging you into the 21st.
I know. I've got to stop. I've just got to stop thinking, Barney. That's the one thing. But yeah, so it's a lot of heart has gone into this. We will keep banging the drum about why we think this ownership structure is shite and two signings doesn't change all that. We'll be there in the usual places. We won't be there after the game. We're going to try and do. It will be a very strange podcast, I think, because it'll be one of those where we're taking lots of snippets and trying to put them all together into something. And Nick and Nathan will probably do something afterwards from the game, but we'll see that. Can I say, we haven't got Shane. Has anyone got a hatred of the week? Because I've got one.
I'll have a think, but you go on.
Right. So we went to the forest near us, and they've introduced car parking charges, which has gone down like a lead balloon. Why should you charge for families to go? Anyway, the app wasn't working. So you have to ring I don't know why I've done the ring thing like a Peter Kay, to ring to pay the charge. As we did that, started the conversation, like we walk away from the car, unbeknown to us when we get back. So we have paid, we've paid the £2.50 for the 2 hour parking. He must have gone in an, it's, you know, not even uniforms anymore. They must go in unmarked cars, has stuck the parking ticket on us. He must have seen that we had a kid with us as we were walking away. As it was raining, we just wanted to get a bit fresh air. And he's thought, I'll still do the twat. Who do you fucking think we're on the phone to? So we've appealed it. But I felt like the falling down moments that I have in my life. You fucking fuckwit. Fucking fuck off. Right, so that's mini shame. Coggy, anything?
No, I'd just like to say that, you know, a big cheer for all these hard-working traffic wardens. who, you know...
On a fucking Sunday.
Parking illegally without fucking pain. I mean, you know... They're what makes Britain great.
And also... You could have been on the phone to anyone. How's he supposed to know you've been on the phone?
Well, I think my wife shouting the fucking app's gone down in an aggressive manner might have given the game away. So
just,
that was our...
I've been going mental about parking meters where they don't take contactless or cards. You know, even Red News accept card payments now. It's 2021 and I've not got £3 in my pocket.
Yeah, so... I could. This could be a list that goes on for eternity. It really could.
Can I just add though? Right, you want to affect your career, lads, because you know you're not men of the world like me. But having to put £1 into a supermarket trolley so you can go and spend £100 in
yes.
the shop.
Well, that.
I never carry money with me, so what's all that about?
I think it's to deter all the supermarket trolley. Ending up around the wilderness that you see, so people just don't take them left, right and centre. And can I add, she'll hate this, but she won't get to listen to it. I'll add my wife to this. We've seen Suicide Squad tonight. It was good, not great. I mean, what the fuck? It's a giant shark, so why am I trying to dissect the film narrative? But, so we have our snacks or whatever, Iowa's trailers, whatever. My wife always starts them when the film has started. As soon as the film starts, that is the point. What are you doing? Why are you starting when the film starts? Nothing. I think it's done deliberate, which reminds me, I might have mentioned this is where I'm getting old age, that I went to the cinema a couple of years back when I was looking after mum. It was like, get out the house, you know, just to have a bit of fresh air and that. And came in, started eating Chris. And this old granny turned round to me in the cinema and went, "Will you just shut up?"
But I agree. Why do people have to take food into a cinema? They're only there for a couple of hours. Why have you got to take snacks anyway?
It's tradition, Coggy. You've got to have something.
No.
Anyway, she got a terrible coughing fit from the water. And I thought, you can't cough anymore like that in a global pandemic. It's just everyone feeling uncomfortable enough as it is. And I'm thinking, I felt like in between each cough going, it's not COVID, it's not COVID.
Just on that film, Harley Quinn is brilliant in that film, in my opinion.
Yes, I think.
And that whale.
It's a shark.
She's a shark, okay, that's a shark.
It's got teeth.
How he survived is beyond me. But do you know what the film was based on?
No.
It was based on The Dirty Dozen. Apparently, the director or the writer thought, was watching The Dirty Dozen and thought, I wonder what this would be like if these soldiers had superpowers.
Oh, right.
And that's how he developed...
I won't spoil it for anyone. I mean, not that you can spoil the most bizarre, but the giant starfish didn't do it for me. That was a bit too weird.
That reminded me of Ghostbusters with a big marshmallow man or whatever it was.
Right. Film Barry Norman over. It's usually Nathan talking films. Right, you haven't told me. So, I'm going second and a cup. Nathan?
I think we would be very lucky to get second, I think. I think Chelsea will, if they carry on like they started, well, towards the second half of the season, once they've got the new manager, I think, and especially if they're going to go and sign Lukaku, who has to be better than he was for us, I think they will be challenging City. So I'd go top four. I still think we'll get top four, because I don't think Liverpool are going to be challenging, because they need to freshen up up top. They were looking stale last year. I don't think that Van Dijk being out was the only reason they were shit. So I don't think, obviously, Spurs or Arsenal are going to be nowhere. Like Leicester again could be challenging, but I'd be disappointed if we weren't third. But I'd love to be obviously much higher, but I think realistically we've got to be going for trophies. We've got to go and win the cup. Because that's the thing, we're getting to semi-finals and finals now.
Yeah.
But like you say, with the two signings that we've made, you've got to hope that they can put us over that line, you know.
Like, well, especially Varane winning a European Cup. I mean,
there has to be even bigger questions if we're not winning something with those two signings that we've made. Because realistically, like, you know, it's not often that you can say that we're signing proven world-class players.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be nice, Nath?
That's what we've been able to do. Whether it's because Madrid are a sinking ship and he just needed to get out, but it's for our benefit, isn't it? So just take advantage of it, you know.
Wouldn't it be nice, you know, with all the Ollie, the abuse, some of it justified that he's got, that he puts it to bed and we start off in a nice rhythm. The one thing in those endless old press conferences that I watch, Derby, that before City trip you so enjoyed with Nick, he did the press conference before that and he said, and there was a lot of questions were about Rooney, a lot of questions bizarrely were about the treble, and he went, you know, the key to the treble, and what he said, what I believe in is you gamble, you risk take at this club. And these are the question marks that he's had hanging over him. So wouldn't it be nice if he wakes up Friday night and he's had the whole summer to contemplate, you lost the Europa League, as Ben says in his column, last kick of the game, kicking the bollocks, that if he goes, I am going to risk more to achieve more this season. Because if you do that, Ollie, you've got everyone on board, you've got the fans on board, go for it. What have we got to lose? Well, you know, literally, we've got nothing to lose. Because go for it will hopefully get Ben.
I think we'll definitely come into top four. I'll say that. Where we come into top four, I think it's really difficult to predict. I mean, I do have a bit of optimism. Like I said, I think we're improving. But, you know, the quality of the opposition is strong as well. And that applies to all the trophies you're going for, doesn't it, really? I mean, I think he does need to win a trophy this year. I mean, he needed to win one last year, really, and he was close. He's got to go that extra mile and get one this year. But again, it depends who you come up against, doesn't it? I mean, the margins are very fine, as we found out last year. So I think the important thing is that we have to be in contention for the league this season. We might not win it, but last year, were we ever really? It was a one-horse race, really, wasn't it, from February onwards? And I think this year, if he wants to talk about progress, we really have to be still in the mix come April.
Yeah. Well, winning that Sheffield United in January, which I know we never thought we would win it, but, you know, if we had at least put, and we blew that opportunity.
Well, they're the kind of games, aren't they? And a lot of the draws at home, there was too many draws that we need to kind of turn one point into three. We've got to get closer than we were last year. And I think with the signings we've made, we should be capable of doing that.
Coggy?
I don't think we'll get relegated.
You said that in 1974.
I think City will win the league, and I think they'll win it comfortably, to be honest. And I think the top four will be the same as last season. Who finishes second, third and fourth, I'm not quite sure. And like you've all said, we have got to win a trophy. I felt we had to win one last year, but we didn't. And it'd be good if he does start taking a risk, and maybe he will. Now he's got a couple more quality players in, but you know I'd be happy with the League Cup. Avoid City in the semi final. We're capable of winning the League Cup. I mean, it's, you know, just a bit of silverware, really.
I think that is important, and it'd be interesting because sometimes you know the beat. suddenly things can surprise you. Luke Shaw, if his form continues, he had such a great Euros, carry that on. Then you start lifting the players around you. Maguire, see that form continually for us. We've said, get a player alongside you, show that you're a leader. So there are moments. And the Lukaku thing, I always maintained, I've said it hundreds, he was better than he was than we saw that second season. But I don't think he's a title-winning player. I don't think he has that. I think Chelsea fans, especially, they'd fucking get on his back a lot quicker than United, that he would get the two goals against Burnley. But when you're playing, say, Liverpool, City away, I don't think he has it in him to do that. But I will say one thing. Nick always says we're a fucking bunch of negative bastards and he's the only one who carries the flag of optimism. And look, without him, we've coped quite admirably, we've not dished it out to Ollie, we've not done any of this. So Nick, in your fucking face, mate. Right, there's...
We've not mentioned that shit sport from across the pond either, have we?
No, we haven't mentioned all the things that he accuses us.
While we're on the subject of Nick, can we call Nick out for getting married on a match day?
Yes. Spurs away.
He's denying us all the first trip to the new Spurs stadium.
Bastard. Bastard. And then says we're banned from even watching it in the background. Well, I can understand Nathan because he'll be doing the best man speech. But the rest of us could huddle around somewhere quietly in a little den or alcove. We can...
Empty room for Nathan's speech.
Yeah, look, we will be doing that anyway, let's be honest. You just have to double-quick your speech up, Nathan. I've got my timings here. It's a 5:30 kickoff. But the one I will say, look, the selling bit, I know there'll be some of you, I don't even know what I think half the time, so there might be some of you don't want to come close to us, there might be some of you don't want to give cash, don't want to plug, you can obviously order it online, but I don't care about any of that. Just give us a wave, and if you're a regular, you don't have to buy it, just come and say hello, because it would be nice to know that you're all right. I mean that honestly. Now, we better end it, because we've less waffle than usual, so maybe Nick's that barometer. Who do you want the keeper to be this season?
Henderson for me.
Really? De Gea for me.
It's a tough one, that one, isn't it? I don't know. I still feel like De Gea's still got it in him. I do.
I asked John this and he said Kasper Schmeichel, that we missed the boat.
Well, I think he's probably he's better than both of them, but that's another story.
Coggy?
I'm not bothered who's the keeper as long as they perform, to be honest. I mean...
Yeah, but who do you trust the most to do that then, out of the two?
I've got my reservations about both. I mean, it was interesting what little bit I saw of the first half on Saturday, early doors. Everton put a cross in, didn't they, from a corner. And De Gea was nowhere to be seen. I think he ended up getting a free kick for some bizarre reason. So I still doubt about De Gea when it comes to, in the box and everything. I like Henderson. I like his attitude. He's prone to a couple of mistakes. I just don't think he's tall enough. You know, I mean, as keepers go, what is he, 6'1" or something like that? I think, and I think that could cost us some goals, actually, throughout the season. Similar to Pickford the other on Saturday, because he's a midget by goalkeeping standards. So I'd love Henderson to come through and be absolutely superb this season, but I've got question marks over both, and I think they are both similar sort of levels, both capable of making mistakes, but both capable of bringing full off great saves.
I mean, if we're having all these debates, Ollie's got a lot to ponder in the next, before deadline. He's got a lot to think about. But it's just great being back, isn't it? It's just great. None of this behind closed doors. Please, let's not, I'm not under devaluing what everyone's gone through. Everyone, and some much worse. But please let this be it, and that we're back at games and we can start finally putting things behind us. And just seeing everyone. You're all going to get hugs. I'll be crying at 10 o'clock like a broken man. Like that Messi fan at the Barcelona gates. I'll just be there. Why are you crying? I don't even know. I'm just crying.
A bit disappointed you're not coming for a beer after the game.
Oh, don't get...
18 months away and you can't have been bothered. Don't
start with this, Ben. Right, prediction for Saturday. I am going 2-0 to the famous Manchester United. Rah, rah, rah.
I was going to say 2-0 as well.
Oh, that's good. Ben?
I'm going to go 3-1. I think Leeds will score.
Cool. 3 went Coggy.
4-2. I think it'd be a high scoring game, but you know, I think 4-2 to United.
Four wins predicted by the experts here.
It's the first game of the season. There's no one on this podcast who's going to predict a Leeds win.
Or banished for the rest of the season. Right, cheers, lads. Thanks for, as ever, for giving your fucking time up. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, lads.
Take care, everyone. Thank you.